When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live on SEN Track, welcome to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Kickstart your day of racing. Have breakfast with the Kiwis. Head to loveracing.nz.
Good morning. Welcome to a special edition of Breakfast with the Kiwis, brought to you solely by Kiwis this morning. Mitch Davis joining you here, stepping in for regular host Butch Castles. We've got Black Type Racing at both ends of the North Island. Looking forward to this weekend with the coveted Group 3 Bone Crusher Stakes out of the 9-race card at Pukekohe Park. And then we'll be heading further down south to Trentham later on, where we've got the Group 2 Wakefield Challenge Stakes for the 2-year-olds, followed by a class field lining up in our first named edition of the Group 1 TAB Classic. Joining us first to talk about his rides at Pukekohe is jockey Ryan Elliott. Ryan, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. Looking forward to a good racing card out of Pukekohe. We'll just jump right into race two. We've got Panine Way for Ross McCarroll, debutant here who won his sole trial. Do you know much about the horse? He looks probably an even chance in, well, what looks an open race.
It does look an open race. There's a little bit of form through those current meetings through Pukekohe in there, but what I've seen of his trial, he looks quite sharp, so he looks ready to go for Ross.
Yeah, he did show a bit of toe in that trial, and I thought, you know, I guess it would be up to Ross's instructions where you land, but I guess being his debut run, you just maybe letting him find his feet and get into a rhythm throughout.
Yeah, he's drawn a nice gate and he should be able to posse up behind him, but Ross has let him mature it over time, and Ross doesn't seem run to the races unless he thinks he can win, so there's high praise about the horse at the moment.
No, exactly. Moving on to race three, you've got one here who looks probably maybe one of your better chances of the day in Wallen for Shane Crawford. He's arguably one of the most overdue for a maiden victory in the country at the moment, but this looks a pretty good chance for him to break through here.
Yeah, narrowly last start at Pukekohe, got back and rattled home nicely and just missed, but at Tiaraha the race didn't plan out. They went quite hard and funny. He was just flat the whole way trying to pick up, but the way he rattled home, he shouldn't go amiss on Saturday.
No, I agree. Race four, Max Schnell for Denisa Guy. You've got a few for Denisa Guy tomorrow, but this horse has come back from Australia. He's probably yet to regain that form that saw him winning a few good races over there. He's back to probably a better suitable track today, tomorrow. Lower grade of opposition, you could argue, and, you know, this probably sees his best opportunity to find that form.
Yeah, well, Shane and McClock really had it before it went over to Sydney and won a few races, but he's come back to more of a open field for him to really have a good crack at if he can stay at 2-1 or not.
Yeah, no, exactly. And have you had a stare on him before, or is this your first time on tomorrow?
Nah, first time for him. Just picked up the rides through the owner, who owns Lupo as well, but he looks a good chance on paper, stepping back into his own class group.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you there. Sorry, is that Sean Everclockworthy that trained Max Schnell? Yes, no, not Denisa Guy, sorry.
Yeah, great.
Denisa Guy, your first one for her, is in the next race, Wild West. He's first up off a couple of trials, strikes another even race. He's got a pretty decent first up record. Are you expecting a bold run first up?
Yeah, he goes good fresh. And Wild West actually galloped quite well the other day with Lupo Solitario, so there's a little bit of promise he's going to run a good race first up.
Well, that's a good indication. I think he's around the $8 mark in that race, so he's probably a decent chance at odds. The horse you just spoke of, Lupo Solitario, in race six, gee, looks pretty good chance in the Group 3 Bone Crusher. I probably don't need to say much more. You've ridden him, obviously, in all three of his career starts. What are you expecting on Saturday?
I should speak a bold run from me. He's had an exhibition gallop round at Pukekohe and really was an eye-opener for him. He's actually dropped a penny a little bit. He's a little bit more switched on since he had a few weeks off, and he looks like a strong chance.
Yeah, and that form, you know, obviously his only defeat came behind Crescetti, who then franked that, and then he I'm pretty sure he beat Glamour Tycoon on debut, and that's been franked last weekend as well. So I think, you know, in what looks a pretty even race behind him, he looks pretty standout sort of chance in that race.
Yeah, it's going to be it's only a small field, so it's going to be very technical. It's just a shame. Stephen Marsh's runner has come out, and that's just going to make it more technical how the race is run.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to race 7, Jimmy Dean, probably not as strong of a chance as Lupo Solitario. His best form has been on the synthetic. Do you give him much of a chance at odds in the next race?
It's a very open field with the way it is, but yeah, his best form has been on synthetic, but I think getting back to a more firmer ground for him might be better suited. He's only just coming into fitness, so this next run should be well up in this grade.
Absolutely. Race 8, you jump on Tony Pike's runner to Slipper Island, who you could argue has been pretty consistent last time, and he's performed well each run, and he runs into a couple of smart ones here. Do you think he can run a cheeky race behind Flamebird and Adam I Am in this one?
Oh, he's always put his hand up and put his best foot forward, and at another race it's going to be a little bit more tactical with all the better runners drawing in and out outside him, so it's just whether he gets the easiest run possible for him to just get the extra length on those two horses.
Yeah. Race 9, another one for Ben Foote. Nancy, she wrote, I actually thought she was probably a nice chance to finish off your day. She's second up off a long spell, and her first up run wasn't too bad when being caught wide. Have you sat on her before, and what's your chances there?
First time I'll be sitting on her. It's another open field, but watching her last start run, she went super. She's set out wide and run home and kept on strong. Coming back to 1500 will really suit her, especially in the open field, and she's probably won at odds.
Absolutely. And obviously we've capped off a pretty strong book there of rides at Pukekohe. Would you say Lupo Solitario is your best, or would you be steering to one of the others?
Lupo Solitario is probably the best ride on paper, and I'm sure Shane Crawford's runner Wallen should be putting his hand up too.
No, I agree. Best of luck on Saturday there at Pukekohe, Ryan. You've got a great book of rides and look forward to you hopefully steering a couple of those home.
Cheers. Thank you very much for having me.
Cheers. Thank you, Ryan. That was Ryan Elliott, jockey riding out at Pukekohe tomorrow. He's got a strong book of rides and it should be a great day of racing there at Pukekohe. We're just going to head to a break now. On the back of that break, we'll be joined by Bevan Sweeney, who's going to run through the card at Trentham, where we've got the Group 2 Wakefield Stakes for the two-year-olds and the Group 1 TAB Classic over the mile there for the open-class horses.
You're listening to Breakfast with the Kiwis. Loveracing.nz, your home of New Zealand thoroughbred racing news, previews, reviews, profiles and more.
Now we're going to take a look at the racing out of Trentham, a Group 1 day down there. As promised, we're joined by Gun Form analyst and presenter Bevan Sweeney. Bevan, pleasure to join you.
Yeah, very good morning to you, Mitch, and to your listeners. Looking forward to the Group 1 day at Trentham. Of course, the old Captain Cook, now the TAB Classic. We have the Wakefield on the program, and I can tell you weather, it's pretty fine, pretty warm, so that track will only improve into Saturday's race.
That's what we like to hear. Yeah, it's come back to a soft five by the looks over the last couple of days, and the rail's gone back to the true. Just on that, Bevan, do you think there's going to be a, you know, an established pattern throughout the day? We've seen some of those meetings there at Trentham have played well for those on the rail. Do you think there's going to be anything to look out for there?
Well, it can play a little bit to the rail early, Mitch, when it goes back into the true position, but they've had a little bit more racing there in recent times, with Manawatu 2 being reconditioned at the present moment. So more racing there maybe plays to suggest that the track might play a little bit more even than maybe on a normal when the rail goes back into the true position. But I think you can probably play early on in the program, first three races, have a look, just do your form around, maybe on speed and on the rail early, and then just assess it from there.
Absolutely, I'd have to agree with you there. And we'll fire straight into the one of the features on the day, which is the Group 2 Mode Technology Wakefield Challenge Stakes. Group 2 level for the two-year-olds over 1,100 metres. Early money looks to be for the Andrew Forsman train runner Red Sea for Cambridge Stud. What way were you leaning in this one?
I think it's a good running of the Wakefield, Mitch, compared to previous years. Red Sea was good, being beaten by the Boom Two-year-old at the present moment, and Velocious at Tarapa and was only caught late. So early on the program, you'd think it would come across. It's a niggling draw, and it's down the chute for two-year-olds, so they can get a little bit lost with an experience. So I'm going to stick with Poetic Champion. He is the most natural two-year-old I've personally seen in the flesh. Looked fantastic at Hawera and delivered in very good form on that occasion. To the eye count is maybe a little bit disappointing, but didn't think the race shape suited him, and the blinkers come off him. So he might be ridden just a little bit colder than we saw on the day at the counties. He's a really strong fellow by Super Seth, and Super Seth doing a nice job with just a small crop of horses around. Dream of the Moon, he looked fantastic at Riccarton, delivered nicely. He had some runs on the board. I did like Diablo Blanco out of the South Island. I thought it was the match of Dream of the Moon at Riccarton, and its run. I know it ran second, but it was slow away and had to clear traffic. So I don't doubt the South Island can run a massive race here. And look, just don't know around Captured by Love. Just had the one run at Tauhiramiki on a small field, but looked pretty good doing it. Most natural two-year-old I've seen is Poetic Champion, so I'll stick with him to get back in winning form in the Wakefield.
Moving on to the quaddie, it looks to be a pretty tough quaddie, a very open quaddie on paper. The first of those legs is race 6, the market headed by Sleeper, Promised Land, Tarazetto, Kind Thoughts, are all around that $5 mark. All look to be strong chances. Did you lean any way in this one, Bevan?
I actually found some massive value for you here, Mitch, and it's a horse called Always Dreaming for Aloni Kelly. It ran the quickest last 6 at Whanganui at its debut in behind Glorophilia, who I do have an opinion of. And then we all saw Whanganui on Saturday. It was impossible to make up any ground. Well, this horse was second last on the rail turning in and hit the line really strongly in some good sectionals. I think the big open track here will really suit the mare by Telperian, and Warren Kennedy goes aboard. It was at $21 when I had a look at this yesterday afternoon. I think it's into 16. I think it can beat this field.
14
just
now,
some value for you. Yeah, 14 now. I just think it was way over the price it should have been, and just on its two runs, which, you know, you look at them on paper, you think, well, maybe not fantastic, but then you do the analysis and the way the tracks are playing in its sectionals and think, well, the mile's going to suit. Mr. Twinkletoes, Joe's always had a big opinion of that particular horse, the 4-year-old by Zakinto, and it delivered nicely, both fresh up and second up. Sleeper, travelling down for Simon and Katrina, it was a good win at Hastings, albeit on a track condition it won't strike on Saturday, so there's always a slight question mark there. And Tarazetto, gee, I did my dough on it at Awatuni at its debut, and then Robbie actually said when we interviewed him at the concert that it had been going pretty poorly at the jump outs and hadn't come up well at one. So it's a horse with a fair bit of ability. We've got plenty of texts from Robbie about that, but yeah, it just hadn't been going well at the jump outs, and then it showed its true ability race day, so maybe just one of those type of horses. But I'm going to tip you a bit of value in the first thing of the quaddie around the 11 Always Dreaming Warren Kennedy aboard.
Moving on to race 7, and as has been the theme of what I said, would be the quaddie legs, another open race, rating 75 here over the 1400. Market is headed by the likes of Rusty Lane, Insatiable, and the Hottie again for Robbie Patterson. Did you find another value on for us here, Bevan?
No, I didn't know where to look here much in race number 7. I think if you're having a quaddie and you've got something to spend, then spend it wide in this particular league. I do like Rusty Lane, a big free-going horse by Atlante for Noel Quinn, and Joe Doyle was aboard at Riccarton. He'll know the horse well now. He'll work across from a wide gate. He can sustain a good, consistent, high tempo, and he should be right there at the finish if he gets across without too much hard work. Insatiable, it was a couple of very good efforts down at Riccarton from this horse, Opie Boss and the Gun aboard, so there's no doubt that horse will be right in the mix as well. And look, the Robbie Patterson team are flying, so the Hottie, if the money comes on, I haven't had a look at that market this morning, but beat home Margarita Veloce at the end of last preparation, which takes some doing, so I expect it to run a race with Michael aboard, drawn a low marble. Tavachi Princess looked very good, fresh up, albeit in a weaker race than it strikes today, looked good at the trials, and behind Fongo, which is a horse that you should watch out for. I think it's going to Trenton next Saturday and might be a Wellington Cup type of horse for the very successful ownership there. So, I'll be taking a few, Mitch, in honesty. I think I'd even put in a horse like Duncan Creek, who on his day can be very, very sharp, and even Lincoln Falls was better last time, and we know he has a lot of ability. If I was going to go with one, I think I'd be with Rusty Lane. I think Tavachi Princess will be right there, but it's definitely a leg you need to spread it quite wide.
Now we move on to the feature, the Group 1 first running of the named TAB Classic at Group 1 level, previously known as the Captain Cook Stakes. $400,000 over the mile, market headed by Aegon, the well-travelled Aegon. Obviously started favourite for this race last year and running second to race rival Prix de Fer. Were you on one of those leading chances there, Bevan, or were you steering us into some more value here?
Yeah, well, the race has changed shape just because of the draws. I think if Aegon had drawn a decent sort of marble and Desert Lightning had drawn a decent marble, then this would probably be a simple analysis, and it would be that Aegon or Desert Lightning, for me, would win more than likely Aegon. He did get run down last year by Prix de Fer coming from back. He's not a horse that can sustain a long run, so he'll need cover, and, gee, I can't see him getting close to them over the mile here from out there. So he'll have to be brilliant, but he is very, very talented. Desert Lightning might be the one that works across from a wide draw under Vinnie Colgan. And look, he's a horse who's very much underrated at times. Just to give a decent run at Tauranga, he was very good fresh up and looks a Group 1 horse in the making for sure for mine. I know he's run second down south in the three-year-old, but I think he'll get his time in the sun through the summer. They're both drawn awkwardly, and then I look at Malt Tom, who I'm a fan of. I really am a fan of, and Lily gets her first Group 1 ride on Saturday for the Clotworthies, and I think she can win. I know the draw, again, probably is the wrong way round for Malt Tom, drawn inside, and doesn't have a lot of muster early in the light to let her sit back, relax, and then come with one quick run. I don't think they can do that on Saturday with Malt Tom. I think they have to try and hold him a spot somewhere midfield on the fence. It'll need a split, and if it does get that, then I think it's right in the mix, Malt Tom as well. And then, geez, they're pretty even amongst the rest of them. Habana's going well. Horse drawn to advantage, I think, is Town Cry, drawn two. And if they don't come across and take her on, she can be dangerous in front without any sort of pressure. But I'd imagine Flair of Wanaka might come across and put a bit of pressure on others to go forward. I'm not 100% sure in this particular race. Where to land, Mitch, is the question, I suppose. Lily, I'm going to go with Malt Time. It's some pretty good value for you in the race. If it gets the right run and gets a split at the top of the straight, then it can finish very, very quickly. But the best of Aegon wins with a little bit of luck, and Desert Lightning, if he comes across and gets cover, then he's very, very dangerous in the Group 1.
Yeah, well, I'd actually have to agree with you. It's one of those races where there doesn't look to be much speed on paper. You know, you've got Town Crier and, of course, I'm Mav, who probably are the likely leaders from those low gates. But you wouldn't say that, you know, with the likes of Town Crier, Desert Lightning working across, and maybe even Riordini from those wide barriers, maybe Aegon does. Maybe McNabb chances his arm and tries to slide across with them and find a gap behind them early, because it could be one of those races where, yes, there may not be much speed on paper, but it may not eventuate that way if everyone's thinking the same, you know?
Well, I suppose you roll the dice, and on Saturday we'll have our senior riders out there, and if Michael does push the button and tries to come across and they let him slip in, then they really haven't done their job in my mind. So, look, he might find cover. He might not. If he doesn't, I suppose he's three wide on speed, and it makes it very, very difficult. Or you ride for a little bit of luck and just trust the horse. We know he's very, very good. Look, only Michael will know, Mitch. That is going to be a question for us on Saturday. I doubt he'll tell us before the race, but look, if he got cover forward to midfield, then he will become a $2 shot in this race.
Absolutely. And yeah, best, as you said, best of luck to Lily with her first Group 1 ride. She actually has a great chance, I thought, like you. Moving on to race 9, it's the last race of the card, as has been the theme of the previous legs, another very open race. One that I'm quite keen on, and the early money has been in this corner. I think you're a fan of this horse too, Bevan. Mr. Bully Tees. Early money tends into 650. Gee, it's an open race. But yeah. I thought he was one probably that you could have played at odds.
Well, you're trusting him. Rather than going on his first couple of runs this preparation, he is a serious horse. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's the sort of horse who's been on the market and I think sold before finding the vet maybe a couple of times. So he's still with the Thompson and Brown team. But to the eye, he's been a little bit disappointing in his first two runs over the 1,400 metres. The track will be in a good state, I think, on Saturday, and the money's come for him. Local money out of the Hawke's Bay, I understand. So he must be on the improve. For me, the best version of him would absolutely win this race.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff, Bevan. Thank you very much for joining us on this special edition of Breakfast with the Kiwis without Butch Castles this week. Looking forward to Saturday at Trentham, and have a good day out there.